In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the second week of the blessed month of Hatur. And as we noticed, the church chose for us for the first two Sundays of this month to read us basically almost the same passage, the parable of the sower. And during this season, typically is the season where the farmers plant the seeds. So we see how the Lord Christ gave them a parable related to what they were doing in their life. And this is actually, it was done on purpose, because at the end of the day, as we know, what the parable means, that the seed is the word of God, and the ground is us, is our heart. So the church wants to tell us that the word of God should be intertwined with our everyday life. It's not something, okay, we just come to church to hear the good words, to hear words of encouragement, and then when I go out into the world and live my life Monday through Saturday, it's an afterthought, or it's on the back burner. No, it wants us to intertwine us, so that when we work, we actually think of God, and we put His commandments in our mind through our whole life. Having the different types of ground is the different types of hearts that maybe when they accept the word of God, there are many different types of hearts. So I think the thing that distinguishes whether there will be fruit in the person's life is the type of ground that we have. And this is very important that we know what type of ground we have, because Christ warns us that every tree that does not bear fruit is what? Is cut down. Is cut down and thrown into the fire. So actually, if I don't bear fruit and my ground isn't healthy, then I'd be cut down because I'll be useless. There'll be no fruit. Just like you and I, when we have a plant in our garden at home, when it doesn't bear fruit, and it begins to die, we cut it down and we plant something else in its place that will give us fruit. The same thing. God forbid that any of us become this ground that is useful and doesn't bear fruit, lest we are cut down. But to begin with, the ground could be very good. But if there's no seed that's thrown on the ground, also won't bear any fruit, right? There could be great soil, but if we don't take advantage of that soil and the seed's not sown in that soil, then it becomes also useless. So the question maybe I'd like to ask today is, how do we cultivate our life to be the good ground? How do I cultivate in my life the good ground? And I think, as I said, the seed needs to be thrown. And a ground without seed will certainly be unfruitful. And as we said, the seed here is the word of God that is thrown into our hearts. So I'd like to speak a little bit about the seed here, or the word of God. How do we make the word of God active in our life? How do we make the word of God active in our life? I think the number one thing, or the first thing, is to be consistent in our reading the Bible. Being consistent. Nowadays, with the advancement of technology, there's no shortage of access to the Bible. You know, back before the time, and during before the invention of the printing press, only the wealthy, very wealthy people had books in their homes, because it was very expensive, because when they copied it by hand. So if it was a big book, you'd have to pay somebody however many hours or days or weeks or months it took to copy this book. If only the wealthy had the Bible, or any book for that matter. And you know what people did when they came to church before the printing press? They would come, and the church would have a copy of the Bible, or the readings, and they would come and listen to the Bible, and maybe they might write something down and try to memorize what they heard. Why? Because this is the only way that I will hear the Word of God for the rest of the week. So they really, devoured the Word, because this is the only opportunity that they have. Nowadays, we have, you know, electronical copies of Bibles. We have the printing press, and it's very easy. We have Amazon that will bring it to your doorstep. You know, so we have actually no short of excuses and why we don't read the Bible, because we have an abundance of access. Not only is it we can read it, but now we can even listen to it. You know, they have online, they have Bibles where somebody reads the Bible for you from Genesis to Revelation. The whole Bible can be read, listened as an audiobook. And I have the audiobook, and it's about 80 hours or so long. So it means if you spend 80 hours listening to this, you would finish the whole Bible in 80 hours. So either you can do like a marathon and do like, you know, for, I don't know what, 3 or 4 days, 4 days, and you can listen to the whole Bible in 4 days without sleeping. Or if you want, better idea, is we can take 15 minutes every day to simply listen to the Bible. And if we take 15 minutes every day to listen to the Bible, we would complete the whole Bible in about 320 days. So a little over 10 and a half months, or about 10 and a half months. So in 10 and a half months, you would finish the whole Bible, or you would hear the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So, of course, listening to the Bible is not enough. You know, it's only, it's good to keep the Word of God in our mind and in our ear, but it's not enough. But this is still very beneficial, because with repetition, it sticks in our memory, and then we can recall it. So we'll take this as maybe an exercise, is even I can listen to it for 15 minutes a day. And it shouldn't be hard to find 15 minutes a day to listen. The second is to better your own personal reading, you know, besides listening, is to read. If we were to read one chapter a day, we would finish the Bible in about 3 years, a little over 3 years, right? So 3 years, and then in this one chapter, I'm not repeating what I listened to, but I'm using this, maybe I spend like 10 minutes reading one chapter. So I read the chapter, and what do? The first thing, I will underline verses. Which ones do I like? I can rewrite the verses, you know, put them on little note cards and put them on my desk, so, and leave them there for a week or 2 weeks, so that I can memorize them. Every time I sit down, I read the verse, so I can try to memorize them. We can also write questions, like if I'm reading the Gospels or whatever book, and there's a part that I don't understand, write down your question. So you can ask a servant, ask Abuna, go research it later on the internet. So this way, during this reading of this one chapter, I'm actually doing a little personal little study about it. And if I do this consistently every day, in 3 years, you would finish studying the Bible 10 minutes for every chapter. This would be wonderful. And the questions I have would be answered. The second part of being consistent is to make it a habit. And I tell those who confess with me to try to tie the Bible reading to a habitual activity, something that's already a habit. For example, for the students, I tell them, "If do you study every day?" I hopefully their answer is yes, but if they say no, then I find something else. But if they study every day, then I tell them to tie it with your studying. Before you pull out your books to study, take 10 minutes to read this passage of Scripture. And then start, you know, your studying. And 10 minutes out of however many hours you're going to study is nothing. And believe me, there'll be a blessing whenever we do this and we dedicate these first few minutes to God. If I don't study, then maybe there's, you know, for those of us who work, we have a lunch break. And this lunch break is consistent every day. Or at least I eat lunch every day, right? Then tie it to your lunch break. Right after, you know, if you have 30 minutes for lunch, eat lunch in 15 minutes. And then read the Bible for 10 minutes and maybe rest for another 5 minutes. So tie it to some type of habitual activity in your life. And that way, when you do that, then the Bible reading will become part of your normal daily routine and habit. Number two is not only is do we have to have the consistent reading, but we have to have the correct understanding. If you look at all of the Christian churches around us, we all actually read the same Bible. But what is the difference? It's how we understand the Bible. The understanding is different. And the interpretation is different. And actually, St. Peter was commenting on the writings of St. Paul. You know how sometimes you read St. Paul's letters and you'll find the whole chapter is one sentence. So you're trying to figure out what exactly he's talking about and navigate through it. So sometimes St. Paul is difficult to understand. But listen to what St. Peter said about St. Paul. He says, "Our beloved Paul, or brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand." So he admits there are some things that are hard to understand. But then what's the problem? He says, "Which untaught and unstable people twist in their own destruction, as they do also the rest of Scripture." So he says there are some people who are untaught and unstable that twist the word of God and to mean whatever they want. And thank God in our Orthodox Church, you know, we are supposed to go back and understand the Bible as the early church has understood it. We are not giving the liberty to interpret and think of Scripture just as I feel, or as some might say, as the Holy Spirit tells me. No, the church has already interpreted the Scripture for us, but it's our job to see how the early church understood it. Because in the early church is when there were no divisions, when the whole church understood everything as one. This was the understanding of this passage by the early church. And then he says, and not only St. Paul, but the rest of Scripture. The rest of Scripture. So it wasn't only something that, you know, was in one author of Scripture. St. Peter also tells us to be like newborn babes, desiring the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. We might think here, you know, desire the pure milk, but actually if you go back to the Greek, the word pure here actually means unadulterated or undeceitful. Undeceitful. So he says, desire the unadulterated milk, which is the Word of God. Go back and try to understand as early church understand it, without the additions or inventions of other people. And again, even in this area, again with the technology we have now like Abuna Daud Lam'i app that we can listen to all sorts of sermons. There are many gifted speakers that interpret Scripture in the Orthodox, correct Orthodox understanding. And again, they're accessible by our phones and the internet and so on. So again, we have no shortage of understanding the true Orthodox meaning of Scripture because we have access to that. And the Word of God, thank God, is being spread through these means. The third way we cultivate a good ground is to meditate on the Word of God. Saint Paul in the David the prophet in the first psalm, he says about the blessed man, he says that he meditates or delights in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. So he meditates on the word of God day and night. And he says, and if you look at this meditating on day and night and it producing fruit, this is here spiritual fruit, not physical fruit. So here when David is saying this, he's not simply saying that the Word of God should be like a textbook that we study, right? If it's a textbook that we study, many of us, when we're in school, we study for the exam, we memorize everything, go put it on the exam sheet, and then we forget about it. But this is not the way the Bible should be. The Bible is the word of life. It gives us life. It governs our life, or it should govern our life. So it shouldn't be something that we read and just simply forget. However, just like in an exam, they ask questions about the text, there will be a question asked of us about the Bible. But the question God will ask us is not going to be, how much do you know of the Bible? What did St. John say in chapter 2 of his gospel? And so he's going to ask us, what did you live by from the Bible? What did you live by? What did you understand? And how did you live from what you based on what you read? The Word of God must be ingrained in our minds and our hearts. You know, for example, St. Mary. Remember when Archangel Gabriel came to her and announced to her the Annunciation that she will give birth to the Son of God? You know what her response was? Her response was what we call the Magnificat, and it's actually very similar to the prayer of Hannah in the Old Testament. If you go and compare the two prayers, it's very similar. And this is something she said spontaneously. When the angel Gabriel announced to her, she responded in verses of the prayer of Hannah. So what does this tell us? This tells us that she read and memorized scripture, and she loved the prayer of Hannah to the point where she memorized it. So that when the time came and she expressed herself as the handmaid of the Lord, she did so in the same way that she was familiar with. The same goes for Saint, there are many examples, but the same goes for Saint Stephen. If you remember again, Saint Stephen, after he was ordained a deacon, he was brought before the elders and the high priest, and they were falsely accusing him. And he said, wait, let me give, a defense. And if you read chapter 7 in Acts, he gave a defense, a very long oration. And this was all done spontaneously as well. He spoke about Abraham, he spoke about the patriarchs in Egypt, he spoke about how they rejected Moses and those who were sent to them. He spoke about all these things. Kida, every time when I come to speak to you, I'm preparing, a sermon. But Saint Stephen, because he was enriched with the Word of God, he just spontaneously began to preach and to give this defense. That's why the psalmist says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding the word of God in our hearts that when temptation comes, we may not sin against him. Listen to what God commanded the children of Israel of how they should handle the word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Number one, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. So he says, you shall teach them, diligently teach them to your children. Who is he speaking to here? Is he speaking to the priests and the Levites? No, he's speaking to who? The people, right? So here he's telling us that each one of us, as a parent, I have an obligation to teach my children the Word of God. I cannot depend on Sunday school, and I cannot depend on the priest. This is your responsibility, first and foremost. We are here to work with each other. So when the family says something that matches the church, and the church is saying something, the child hears the same message from two figures of authority and will heed. But if he only hears it from the church, and I don't heed the word, for example, fasting, we don't fast in our house because I don't like it, or my stomach hurts, or whatever, how do we expect the child to then listen to the church when the family is not listening to the church? So it's got to be both. Do it diligently, as the Bible says. And not only, he doesn't say, just in one area, but he says, as you walk, as you talk, as you sit, all of these things, speak about the word of God when you're at the dinner table. Then he says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So how about, decorating our house with verses from the Bible? You put a verse maybe on the door. You put a verse in their bedroom. Along with the saint pictures, icons we have, how about a verse from the Bible that they can memorize? And every so often, change the verse after they've memorized it. Change the verse and put another verse that they like. Put it in a frame so it looks nice and they can color and decorate it however they like. And you can put it in their rooms. That way the Word of God will be alive. They'll see that this is something that is important. Things we hang on our wall is things we cherish. We put pictures of our family members that are deceased on the wall because we cherish their memory. We put pictures of icons and saints on our house because we cherish the lives of these saints. But we should do the same with the Word of God. The fourth way to cultivate the good ground is to purify our hearts. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to purify our hearts. And we shouldn't hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Remember what the Lord Christ says. He says that I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bring forth more fruit. So he prunes. It's God's work to prune through the work of the Holy Spirit. And to prune means to take away and to clip the parts that maybe are useless and the parts and keep the parts that are clean so they bear more fruit. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit in you and I's heart, to purify us from the temptations of the wealth of the world, to purify us from the pleasures of the world, from the lust of the world, all of these things. We have to accept the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Then when we read Scripture, let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Don't be like the man in James that he speaks about, who was observing his face and his natural face in a mirror, for he, observing himself, goes away and immediately forgets the kind of man he was. He's speaking about the person who reads Scripture, or he says Scripture is like this mirror, who is supposed to tell us who we are. But if I read it and I forget about it, it's like me going in front of the mirror, knowing that I have a deficiency, and then when I remove myself from in front of the mirror, so I think that I don't have the deficiency, or at least I don't see the deficiency anymore. Scripture is supposed to be that mirror that shows us our deficiency. Lastly, we have to cooperate with the Word of God. We have to cooperate. We'll have many different types of commandments in the Bible. We have some do's and some don'ts. For example, we have the don'ts, or the commandments to refrain, which we're all familiar with. You know, do not steal, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not, you know, surround yourself with corrupt people. All of these do nots we know. And these we should just obey. And we should, you know, say, I'm going to do these things without any questions asked. This is what the Bible instructs me. Let's not hinder the work of the Word of God in our life by doing what we shouldn't do. Then you have also commandments we should do, the do's. For example, forgive that you may be forgiven. This is a commandment to do. We have the commandments that say, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Direct commandments to do. We have commandments that are meant to encourage us. Whenever we feel down, we have commandments and promises to encourage us. For example, when the Lord said to us, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How many times do we maybe doubt that God really wants to give us the kingdom? We sometimes question His goodness when we go through hardship. But reading this passage gives us encouragement, says no, His desire is for our salvation. His desire is to give us the kingdom. Why else did He come and suffer like He suffered? And as He said, listen to what He says to Isaiah. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. These are all messages of encouragement that we receive in Scripture. We also have verses that reveal to us who we are in Christ Jesus. He says, St. Paul says in Ephesians 5, he says, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. We are members in the body of Christ. So it tells us who we are in relationship to Christ. And then St. Peter describes us, and he says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. We are special to Him, and we are His own special people. We are called to be the light of the world and salt to the earth. We are His tools in His hand and members of His body. The Bible is a book for our salvation, and it's made to remind and instruct us on the path of salvation. St. Paul instructs his son Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He tells him, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Scripture is able to make us wise for salvation. If we want salvation, and I'm sure we all do because we're here today, knowing the Scripture will help us in our path to salvation. We said to make ourselves the good ground, we should be consistent in our reading of Scripture. We should have the correct understanding. We should meditate on the Word of God. We shall purify our heart and cooperate with the Word of God as He instructs us. To Him be the glory forever and ever.